Hello and welcome to the Opening Bell, the Boxing News podcast. Editor Matt Christie is away, so I'm afraid you're stuck with me, John Dennan. But luckily, we have Boxing News, our editor, the longest serving member of the Boxing News team,
that's
Nick
correct,
Bond.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to reflect on your many years at Boxing News? How long have you been here?
I've been here, so what, I'm thinking about 13 years, John. It's been an emotional journey. Lots of ups and downs. I've seen a lot of changes. From when I started, there was just, I was the fourth member. There was just three here when I started, which were Claude, Tony Connolly and Daniel Herbert. And we've progressed and evolved since then, and we're now like a multimedia brand, a boxing brand that's flourished and grown and spread its wings, and it's just totally different, yeah. I mean, back when I started, the actual magazine, the print product, was the only focus, and now there's so many more focuses. But it's all good, it's good to evolve, you've got to move on.
Yeah, it's also worth reminding people that Boxing News is still a beautiful magazine that you can actually buy and read. We're not just a podcast.
No, for sure. All those years ago, it was A3, the size of a tabloid newspaper, just 24 pages.
But now, so it was like 24 massive pages.
Yeah. So 24, double the size it is now, size pages. It's just totally different. It was news print quality paper, so it was poor quality, but now it's a lot more slick. We have better production facilities, and it's come on really well.
So when you started, 13 years ago, who were the top boxers in the world at that point?
Oh jeez, what was that, around 2001? Well, Oscar was pretty much the main man then. Mayweather was around and about, but not what he is now. I guess Mayweather really sort of rose to prominence as the superstar off the back of the De La Hoya fight around 2007, which saw the first edition of HBO's 24/7, which kind of catapulted him and those sort of pay-per-view fights into the masses. And they're a real good addition to the build-up to fights, those 24/7 fly-on-the-wall documentaries.
Were you expecting to see Mayweather take over as sort of from Oscar De La Hoya as the king of the sport?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, De La Hoya was coming to the end of his career around that point. He was slowing and everything else. So Mayweather was like the B-side to that promotion, and then obviously he got the decision and then fought Ricky Hatton, I believe, in December of 2007. And again, Hatton was the ticket seller. Hatton was the star, so to speak, especially over here. And he took all those fans and that star power to America, and Mayweather kind of was the B-side then. But as soon as he beat him again, he by default became the star. And the rest, they say, is history.
Yeah. Speaking of Oscar, he's making noises about making a comeback at the age of 42.
Yeah.
I guess we must be eyeing Mayweather as his comeback target if he's serious. I mean, is he serious? Well, is it mad?
There's loads of different angles you can take on this. The first and obvious angle is that Golden Boy Promotions have had a bit of a shake-up, haven't they? Richard Schaefer's left. A lot of their star attractions have gone over to PBC and Al Haymon, so it leaves Oscar with a depleted stable, and sort of his status as a number one promoter has been affected. So the thinking is that he could be trying to draw attraction to himself and his promotional company, and it could just be attention. But then at the same...
What, so as in he's just talking about
yeah,
it
he's just
to
talking
get people
about
talking about
it,
Golden
and
Boy?
Keeping Golden Boy Promotions in the limelight. But then you could take that one step further and he could actually fight and fight on a Golden Boy show, promote the show, obviously, and it would be a huge deal and it could, you know, catapult them back into the spotlight. So it's a strange one. I mean, what? Why do it?
Yeah,
I don't think he will personally, but.
Oh, and who could he possibly fight?
Well, I think he said on his Twitter that he would fight the winner of Mayweather-Golovkin, which was basically a thinly veiled challenge to Mayweather to fight Golovkin, wasn't it? We can't see that fight happening. So then, obviously, Oscar won't fight the winner if that fight doesn't happen. So.
Yeah, but I was wondering if he'd sort of start to change his tune. I'd seen something where he was actually, after saying, I'll fight the winner of Mayweather-Golovkin, so that's sort of like saying, oh, I'm not going to fight.
Yeah.
Then he's started making noises that he's more and more serious.
Well, from what we can make of it, Mayweather appeared to challenge him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mayweather reeled off 3 or 4 potential opponents for his fight in September, and Oscar was one of them. Then Oscar came back and said, look, what, you know, don't challenge me, I'm happily retired, I'm 42 years old. But then he's come back and said, yeah, well, maybe, yeah. I might fight, so...
He said he's been looking after himself,
well,
42
years
old.
He has, I mean, you've seen pictures of him, he is physically looking very fit.
Recently,
yeah.
But yeah, obviously he had sort of well-documented troubles a few years ago,
yeah.
Which would imply he wasn't exactly in fighting
no,
shape.
But he appears to have battled those demons and won, so... Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't think anybody would like to see him fight again.
But if he fought Mayweather again,
people would.
You know, it's like a terrible fight, sort because he's so old.
If he fought anyone again,
people
would
turn out to watch. You'd make money.
Yeah, if he fought anyone, he doesn't need the money. But yeah, he must miss the limelight, like anybody who operated in that. On that stage, you know, that magnitude of interest, you would miss it. And clearly...
But he can't recapture his former glory,
no,
can he?
No, of course not, no. That's not even viable. You know, remember when Sugar Ray Leonard came back and ended up getting hammered by Hector Camacho and Terry Norris, and it would just... History would repeat itself.
Yeah.
Nobody at that age can do that, so...
And if he's coming back to just sort of give a boost to his promotional company, that's probably a bad sign as well. Because maybe Ricky Hatton's come back against Zinchenko.
Yeah.
It was just to sort of help out Hatton Promotions,
yeah.
Which is, again, you know, there may be a business case for it, but it's not exactly encouraging in pure sporting terms.
No, I mean, and nobody wants to see these great fighters who are now great old fighters get beaten up, so, you know... Essentially, it was a young man's game.
True, sadly. If only 42 was the new 32.
Yeah, I mean, Mayweather's no spring chicken, is he? But his style of fighting and his lifestyle, he's been able to maintain that. But
yeah, and he hasn't had that massive long break, has he?
No.
And with his Showtime deal, he's been really, for him, very active. You know,
yeah, and
he
keeps himself in shape, doesn't he? Out of the ring. I don't think it will happen, and I don't think it should happen.
Oscar would be better off fighting someone who's been retired for a while. Carl Froch.
Yeah, I mean, you see Nigel Benn wants to fight Chris Eubank again. Obviously, they're both older, similar age. But I don't think anyone would want to see that.
Yeah.
It's like the Veterans Tour and tennis. And
yeah, but I'd much rather see it as a veterans thing than having these old guys coming back to get served up to the young.
Yeah. I mean, Oscar Golovkin, who would want to see that? It would be...
It would not be cool.
No, it'd be one-sided, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be good.
And is it worrying that, sort of talking about these old stars, when we really want new stars being created? Like, shouldn't all Oscar's energies be on Saul Alvarez and making him a superstar and that kind of thing?
I think a lot of his energies are on that, but I guess he would see him fighting again as a quick fix and a quick boost to his company. It was difficult for them to lose all that talent, you know,
yeah.
Danny Garcia's and people like that, Deontay Wilder. But yeah, when you look at who's coming through, there aren't that many young stars, so to speak, certainly not from his stable. So I think, but I think you're right, he should sort of focus on that.
So Foster de la Hoya is on Mayweather's shortlist. He's also talked about Karim Mayfield, Andre Berto.
It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Who do you like? Who would you actually like to see Mayweather to fight next? If he, it looks like he's expected to fight on September the 12th. He's always in Las Vegas, and this is meant to be his sort of final retirement fight. Who would you like to see, or who do you think would be good people for him to box?
The landscape isn't clear at the minute because there's strong rumours that Miguel Cotto will fight Saul Alvarez towards the end of the year. Around that time, September time. Now, if that happens, and if that's made before Mayweather announces his opponent, Mayweather would have to announce a really good opponent to challenge that fight.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So someone like Andre Berto or Karim Mayfield obviously wouldn't challenge that as an attraction, but he's obliged to fight on that date. So one of those guys would just be sort of an opponent, you know, it wouldn't be a massive fight. But I mean, we'd like to see him fight Golovkin, obviously, but...
Yeah, but isn't the argument that Golovkin's too big? Is that not a fair argument for Mayweather?
Well, Golovkin spoke about dropping down, isn't he?
Yeah, but if Mayweather's saying, he's got a light middleweight world title, yeah. But if he's saying, really, I'm a welterweight, yeah. He makes welterweight easily.
Yeah.
It's sort of, is it reasonable to sort of demand that he fights Golovkin?
No, not necessarily so. He doesn't have to. I mean, looking at the available challenges for him, Amir Khan would be a suitable opponent.
Do you think Khan would be the most exciting of the bunch?
Khan is an exciting fighter to watch, yeah.
Yeah.
But how many Mayweather fights would you describe as exciting? Not many.
I didn't hate Mayweather Pacquiao.
No, I'm not saying you should hate it, but it wasn't exciting, was it?
Yeah.
Khan's an exciting fighter, but Mayweather's ability and skill lies in negating his opponent and making his opponent fight at his pace, which doesn't make for exciting fights, but he's a master of it. Khan would probably be the most watchable fight, most watchable opponent.
So I just wonder, because obviously Khan didn't look great against Chris Algieri, though he did look great against Devin Alexander and Collazo, yeah. Which are both, you know, really good wins.
Yeah.
But and with Amir Khan, it seems like, you know, obviously he's been beaten and stopped, but it does seem like to sort of stop Khan from coming at you, you need to be able to hit him really hard.
Yeah, but
so does Mayweather hit hard enough to actually
deal? Sure he does. I mean, he's not a knockout artist, is he? He doesn't take people out like that, and I don't think he's stopped anyone since Ortiz, is he? Where you were at that fight.
I was at that fight.
But certainly there's no question about the power of his punch. He can punch. Certainly he's hard enough to knock out Amir Khan. I'm not saying he would, but he could.
Okay.
Do you not agree?
I was just about to make an argument for how Khan could give him a good fight.
Yeah,
but
no, I think Khan would give him a good fight, especially with his speed. Khan, you know, he's got really fast hands, isn't he? And he's far, you know, moves quickly around the ring. He's got a good jab, a good fast jab. He's fairly tall. He would give Mayweather problems, yeah, without doubt. Yeah. He's young, he's hungry, yeah.
And if sort of other possible contenders for Mayweather are, well, as well as Khan, like Karim Mayfield, Andre Berto, if you're serious about those two,
yeah.
Maybe even Kell Brook, because he's got a welterweight world title. Khan is probably the best known of them, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So he'd be best for a pay-per-view.
And Showtime, the American broadcaster and paymaster would, I think, expect a decent opponent.
Yeah.
I think Khan ticks most of the boxes. I think Kell Brook would probably be the most dangerous opponent for Mayweather. I think out of the guys you've mentioned, he'd have the biggest chance of beating him. personally. But
you've got a very high opinion of Kell Brook. Not that I don't, but...
Yeah, but it's hard not to, isn't it?
Yeah,
but... I mean, he's looked brilliant in the majority of his fights.
Yeah.
He punches hard, he's fast. I mean, he toyed
very
with Frankie Gavin,
well.
Didn't he? And,
yeah.
And Frankie Gavin is a really good boxer. You know, and the Sean Porter win is evidence in itself, you know. He's gone on to beat the talented Broner, so that makes that win look even better.
Yeah. Do you think, because obviously Marcus Maidana beat up Broner and then got to fight Mayweather twice, do you think now that Sean Porter's got a win over Broner, is that like an eliminator for Mayweather? Do you think Sean Porter is a case?
Oh, well, yeah. Could he be ready for September? I suppose he could.
Yeah, what, they just fought this weekend.
Yeah. So,
in theory,
he could, yeah. The same way that Khan would have to get past Ramadan, which is now. Yeah, but haven't they come out, the Sean Porter team have come out and said that fight isn't happening or something?
Oh, have they?
Someone said, well, you know, this stuff changes daily, doesn't it?
Hmm. Who would turn, yeah. If you had the chance to fight Mayweather, though, you would. You'd win because you'd get all the money.
Yeah.
I always thought Broner would be quite a good opponent for Mayweather.
So do I, yeah.
Yeah, because he's really disliked Broner, but he gets loads of attention. Like, you just see like stuff on our website and on our Facebook page. Everyone likes seeing Broner lose.
Yeah, they love to hate him.
Yeah.
I mean, You could say the same about Mayweather. Mayweather divides people.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets as much love as he does hate.
But Broner would be the one opponent who's disliked it even more than Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. Which would make for a confusing situation. I think Broner would be a good opponent for Khan as well.
Yeah, that would be a big fight.
The more defeats Broner has, the less his star shines, do you know what I mean? How many chances will he get? And you know, he draws attention, but if he keeps getting beaten, there's only so many times that can happen.
People do love watching him lose, though.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be the next Floyd Mayweather, but if he keeps getting beaten up, he could be the world's richest journeyman.
Yeah. Great quote. Swiftly moving on.
Yeah, Broner does it. What else has been happening?
Andre Ward pretty much did what we expected him to do against Paul Smith. It was a curious situation at the weigh-in. Was Smith, you know, coming in so heavy above the heavy catch weight that they agreed upon? You know, Paul Smith's really a middleweight / super middleweight, isn't he? And they boxed really officially at cruiserweight.
Yeah.
It was a strange situation. Why would Smith's team miss weight by so much? That's been cause for a lot of speculation. Was it unprofessional? Was it a mistake? Was it planned? Only they can answer, but officially they've come out and said why and how it happened. I don't know what your take on it is.
I don't know, at first I thought it was like a cunning plan no one's making weight at the moment. Everyone's either fighting at catch weight
or
just missing
weight.
It.
Yeah, it makes a mockery of it, doesn't it? But, you know, they've said it was a mistake, haven't they? They've said they miscalculated the water retention on the flight and X, Y and Z, but it was quite a lot that they missed it by.
Yeah. I mean, really, when you're going over to fight abroad, you should probably get over there quite a lot earlier.
Yeah.
It really takes like a day per hour of time difference to get acclimatised.
So, he would want, you know, a couple of weeks, really, in America.
But I think they were also in a difficult situation because Paul's brother Callum is fighting, well, if you listen to
tonight.
This on Friday, tonight,
yeah.
But fighting Friday night. So, very hard. So, obviously, Paul and Callum train together with their trainer, Joe Gallagher, so they can't all be in two places at the same time.
No. I mean, the school of thought could be that they came in deliberately heavy, for their own advantage. I don't know, I don't think the weight suited him. I mean, you know, he's not a big super middleweight, let alone a big light heavyweight, is he?
Yeah, certainly not a big cruiserweight either.
He's fighting, one of the best fighters in the sport, a particularly athletic, bigger guy. I don't think trying to bulk up to his weight suited Smith. And as we found out on the night, he couldn't really get going.
What do you think Andre Ward should do next?
Good question. I mean,
we got a video of him on our website talking about Golovkin, but he's saying that Golovkin doesn't actually want to fight him, and his team are just sort of talking it up, but they're really protecting Golovkin from him.
That'd be a hell of a fight, wouldn't it? I think everybody would want to see that. I mean, they're nearer in weight than Golovkin and Mayweather are, so yeah, why not? I mean, Golovkin isn't a massive middleweight, but I'm sure he would box at super middleweight for the fight. Who else is there for him? I mean,
I think he should move up to light heavyweight, because like, he weighs 172 pounds and looked in shape last time out. So it's only, what, 3 more pounds to go up.
Yeah, there's
and they're great. They're like Ward Kovalev. It would be a huge fight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Ward Stevenson is a good fight. I mean, Beterbiev, if he keeps winning, would be a good fight. There's plenty of attractive options for him at light heavyweight.
Yep.
I mean, it's good to have him back and active. You know, he is one of the best fighters in the sport, and, you know, we want to see him fighting.
Yeah, but it's a real shame all this time has been wasted. I know he had sort of promotional disputes and that kind of stuff, but it is a real shame that he's fought so infrequently in the last 2 years, and, you know, the people he's fought haven't been real challenges for him. It's been, what, Edwin Rodriguez in 2013?
Yeah.
And then Paul Smith in 2015?
Yeah. No, but all like you say, let's hope he gets some stiffer opposition.
And looking forward to this Saturday, you've got Tim Bradley, Jesse Vargas for an interim WBO title, because it was going to be for WBO world title, but Floyd Mayweather has actually changed his mind about vacating that.
Which is all very strange, isn't it? Because the thinking was he'd give up the belt in the same way that the PBC don't really recognise the titles, and Mayweather would be heading in that direction. So to hang on to it or not give it up is another curious situation.
Because straight after the Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, does that hint at his next opponent? I don't know. Sorry, go on.
Well, no, it's probably a good sign that he's definitely thinking of fighting in September.
Yeah.
That he definitely intends to fight in September.
I think he's contracted
to, isn't he? Yeah. But he's earned so much, he could probably buy out his contract. I don't think he'd be forced to do anything he didn't want to do.
No, for sure.
Because I was thinking before the Pacquiao fight, Mayweather was sounding so fed up and disinterested. You were thinking, is this it for him?
Yeah.
But now and then straight after the Pacquiao fight, he said, I'm going to vacate all three of my world titles, all three of my welterweight world titles, or all of my world titles, because I guess he's got a light middleweight one too.
Yeah.
Now at least he's trying to hold on to the WBO one. It's a sign that maybe he's going to hopefully have a big fight in September.
Yeah. Again, I think that's dictated by the Cotto-Canelo situation, but wait and see. But regarding Bradley Vargas, Vargas, yes, he's unbeaten. It's not ideal that he would change trainers halfway through his camp, I believe.
Well, wasn't it he sort of took on Eric Morales over Roy Jones just at the start of this training camp?
Yeah. I mean, Morales isn't a proven trainer. Obviously, he was an awesome fighter. Let's hope it works out for them. I don't think, you know, they're up against it against Bradley. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Bradley is, you know, one of the best fighters in the sport, for sure. It would be an upset.
He gets a bit overlooked, doesn't he, Tim Bradley? It's sort of like you sort of sense he's underappreciated. I don't really know why that is.
Yeah. It's a funny one. I mean, he looked really good against Marquez, didn't he?
That was brilliant.
I think he suffered from the decision that he got over Pacquiao in the first fight, which to many eyes he didn't deserve. And I think that, you know, to get that over a hugely popular fighter has probably affected the public perception of him. He is undervalued, probably.
So if he does beat Vargas, what next for him? Will he be in big fights?
Well, yeah, potentially. I mean, I imagine he would want the Mayweather fight. That's the fight everyone clamours for, especially around those weight divisions.
But you think that would probably have passed him by if he's like a top ranked fighter? Probably not. It's not easy to get a Mayweather fight if you're a top ranked fighter.
No, for sure. But like you said, there's a lot can happen. You know, a lot can happen in regards of contracts and what people say and do. It's never always one and the same, is it?
Wise words. But yeah, I was just kind of thinking he's sort of running out of top name opponents to box.
Yeah, I mean, is there any interest for a third Pacquiao fight? Again, there's a, I don't know.
All right.
Marquez rematch, but I mean, Marquez doesn't really show any signs of boxing again, does he?
Yeah. Well, exactly, it would have to be Kell Brook, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because that was sort of...
Top rank matchroom link up.
They work together.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a really good fight. I mean, it's looking like Brook's going to fight Brandon Rios in September. Yeah.
Good fight, what do you reckon?
It is a good fight. Rios is a tough kid, and Brook can look good against him and would make a huge statement if he stops him, so there's a lot of interest in that fight.
But isn't Rios just quite a good style for Kell Brook? Like, he's going to come straight at him and make Brook look good.
And he's a tough kid, and if Brook can stop him, then huge kudos to Brook. Brook can look sensational against him, but I think he will try to be the guy who stops him or knocks him out. You know, Pacquiao couldn't.
Yeah, it's just I think we need to see Kell Brook versus Chris Algieri. That's what I'm beating the drum for.
Okay, why?
Well, Algieri's a good egg.
Yeah.
You know, he gave Khan a bit of a hard time. Pacquiao didn't stop him.
No, he's tough for sure. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a fight we'd accept, but it's not a fight we'd go looking for, I don't think, as fans.
I would.
You would, yeah. Respect.
Do you like fights that are sort of, they're really more of a measuring stick? So, say like, everyone wants to see Scott Quigg fight Carl Frampton. That's not happening for the time being, so Scott Quigg is fighting Kiko Martinez, so we can someone Frampton's beaten before, and you can compare the two.
You can understand the logic in that.
Do you like those sort of measuring stick fights, or would you just rather they just cut to the chase and get to the big ones?
I think we'd like to see them fight for sure, but it's all part of the long game, isn't it? The bigger picture, just to build the fight up. I mean, it's not an easy fight to make, is it? And the big best fights aren't easy to make, so in the meantime they can look to fight their former opponents and make a statement by doing a better job on them. For example, if Brook does a better job on Brandon Rios, he can say, you know, Pacquiao couldn't take this guy out, but I did.
But yet another reason to fight Chris Algieri, because he can compare himself to Khan and Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. Two birds with one stone.
It's a pretty powerful argument.
You should be a promoter or a matchmaker or both.
Yeah, I should be. And finally, in this week's magazine, George Gigney has a list of his top 10 prospects in the boxing world today. For you, not necessarily your top 10, but who are yours? Who do you think are like the top prospects coming up? So guys who don't have a title yet.
Yeah, I mean, Felix Verdejo's looked really good, hasn't he? And he's kind of the man of the moment. We've got an interview with him in next week's issue, by the way. You know, he's from a great boxing nation in Puerto Rico, isn't he? He's certainly one that stands out. Who else we got on the list?
There's Errol Spence.
Errol Spence, yeah. He's impressed, isn't he? Was an Olympian as well, you saw. I think Verdejo is probably the one.
Number one?
Yeah.
The new Miguel Cotto?
Well, I think he's a new Felix Trinidad, he says. he's a Trinidad fan, so he looks like Felix Trinidad, doesn't he? So
I think Artem Beterbiev is also on the list.
Yeah. Destructive Russian.
Yeah, he's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah. No, there's a few. Let's have a quick look, see what else we've got. I mean, Beterbiev can make waves at light heavyweight and figure in some big fights, as we've already mentioned.
He was an amateur for a long time, Beterbiev, so he has been moving quickly, but you think you've just got to move him straight into the massive fights, do what sort of Lomachenko did.
We've got Callum Smith as well, who's boxing tonight, Friday. Luke Campbell, big favourite of yours. Yeah, there's a few, but Verdejo sticks out for me.
we're quite lucky in Britain that actually we've got some real world class prospects like Callum Smith, Luke Campbell, Anthony Joshua.
Yeah. I mean, they're guys who we kind of expect to win world titles, and that, you know, we're in a good position where we can say that. I mean, Joshua for sure is attracting a lot of attention, but Campbell and Smith are very talented, and I think we'll go on, you know, to certainly win a version of the title, a title.
All right. Well, we've rattled on for half an hour. We're about to call it a day.
Matt will be back next week, won't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had sort of a summer break with the podcast, but we're back now. So if Matt's not back next week,
we'll be back.
We'll be back. And if you need to, I don't know,
get in touch with us via our many channels.
You can tweet us. You are the man behind that Boxing News Ed at the moment.
You can Facebook us. You can email us. You can. Paul Wheeler's at the show tonight. Go up and say hi.
And you can even buy the magazine.
Yeah.
Possibly even read it. That would be good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much for listening, and we'll be back next week.